Welcome. Hello and a very good Auckland afternoon here at Planet FM. A bit of excitement around the studio. Welcome everyone to the West Print Sports Review, proudly brought to you by West Print. Their number is 09-827-8531. They're based at 9 Pereri Street in Newlyn, and their email address is westprint.co.nz. Please go there for all your printing needs, and they're proud sponsors of the show. So we've got a good show lined up today. We'll be talking a bit of America's Cup with Rod Davis, a bit of NRL with Blue McLennan, and of course the panel's back, Mr. Mark Watson, and the Silver Tongue Silver Fox, Sean Summerfield. But as we always do, every Monday we start the show off with a bit of Super Rugby Aotearoa, and a big welcome to All Black legend and all-round good bloke, AJ Whetton. Good afternoon, AJ. How are you?
Good, Biggie. Sun shining. Not bad. Good day of footy the other day.
Oh, and, mate, wasn't that a game? We might as well kick off with the game yesterday, the Crusaders Blues. What a game. It really, whether people like it or not, that Crusaders side, they just know how to win, and they're just so good.
You give them credit, Piggy, you're dead on it. Look, not a bad crowd either, just about 25,000. Another five would have been good, but afternoon was shining with the sun, the good pitch. And the teams had a crack at each other. But I think in the end, you've just got to give it to those Crusaders. Just a bit of experience. Richie Mo'unga, he's the one that really is the cornerstone of that team. He had a blinder of a match. And just they just kept their composure. And with all that experience, I think that just told in the end. From a Blues side that never gave up, but really just looked a wee bit behind the eight ball.
Yeah, they certainly did. One of the things I got out of the game, I felt Jack Goodhue actually had a real solid game.
Yep.
And I felt the type five of the Crusaders is very good. Well, they got tested early on in the scrums, but a little bit of ill discipline, AJ, from the Blues. It can cost them at crucial time.
The thing that came out of it, Piggy, I heard Leon McDonald say, you know, they're going to still keep up their aggressive approach. Got no problem with that. It's just that they've just got to be mindful of the penalties they're giving away. It was disappointing because it just kept giving Mo'unga an opportunity to stretch that lead. And the game could have been a lot closer for it. So a bit disappointing. Don't mind the aggression, but you've got to be smart with it. And that just shows the experience from the red and black.
It certainly does. And taking your 3 points now, you've been great Auckland side. Could you imagine the great Graham Fox, when he's got a chance to slot one over and you guys want to go for the try? I don't think Foxy would have been too happy.
Mate, you wouldn't have got the ball. You would have got a mouthful of abuse. He would have been there. The quickest he ever ran was to get the ball to have a shot at goal. But I tell you, it was all about percentages. And you're back, Foxy. You know, you needed those points just to stretch the lead. You take the opportunity. But look, the Blues started well. They had them under some pressure.
Yeah.
They really needed to turn that pressure into points. The scrum was holding its own then. But just a couple of fumbles at the wrong time. You let the Crusaders off and away they go, and they punish you at the other end. You mentioned Jack Goodhue. He had a good game, probably cutting that mullet off, giving him an extra couple of yards of pace.
Yeah, that's true.
And we paid the price for it. We came back again, but once again, ill discipline let us down. So look, you tick the box for the Crusaders. That tight five, very experienced. They had us in the mall, lineouts. We all knew we were in for some trouble once they got that machine going and they drove the Blues back on numerous occasions. And yes, they may not have got the tries out of it, but it did create an indiscretion which Richie Mo'unga duly penalised. But look, there's some good points out of it. We got our money's worth, and, you know, Hoskins for 2-2, another good try, best try of the match. Yeah. And this boy Robinson, he's a great man that comes off the bench.
Fantastic.
We've talked about him before, Piggy. He just injects a wee bit of that mongrel, that excitement, and look, I just thought he had a great 20 minutes on the pitch, and look back, what may have been, but not quite there yet, the Blues.
I have to agree with you there, AJ. You know, at some point, Leon McDonald's got to give him a start, whether it be at lock, because he adds so much energy to the Blues, and he's got that great aggression, and you know, the Blues need players like this just to give them that forward momentum.
Yeah. Yep, dead right. And he does give the forward pack that go-to. They were under the pump a bit at the end, so they had to throw it around. I thought the backs looked, pretty polished at times. As I said, they tried to have a go, but again, the Crusaders' defence was up very quickly, knocked them down, and it's very difficult to break that advantage line. I thought we were quite solid in midfield, but again, you've just got to come back to the Crusaders. Mwanga, you've got Bryn Hall, I thought, had another great game. Yeah. Drummond comes on, nothing seems to change. And you say you've got Goodhue out there. You had Jordan, the pace he's got, boy, he'll punish you. And Reece, Lily, I mean, it just goes on and on, isn't it? They're just an all-round side.
Certainly is. Well, that was one hell of a game. I tell you what, a game of two halves on Saturday, AJ. The Chiefs getting over the Hurricanes. I don't know what Clayton McMillan said to them at half time, but he must have surely stuck a rocket up them.
Well, I think it was censored. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
But I don't know, you might be giving something in that water, but I tell you what, they needed a bit of a carry up. I thought they were dominant to start that first 10, 15 minutes again, the Chiefs, but they just seemed to let it slip. The Hurricanes came at them, and boy, did they penalise them big time. I like the way the forwards play that Blackwell, the lock, he gives it everything.
Yeah,
I thought
he certainly does.
Duplessis, Cariffy again, gives it some energy. And of course, Marty Sevier is always leading from the front. And Ricky Ritelli, best game I've seen him play in a while. And he had a beeline for that try line. But boy, in the second half, they just turned it around. And I think it just shows you what the Chiefs can do if they can just stick to their game plan. And McKenzie at first five, well, boy, did he have an impact in that second half.
He certainly did, and he was ice cool. I actually felt Caleb Trask, when he was playing at first five in the first half, was actually putting some good balls in and putting people into space. But McKenzie really gave it a bit of boom in there. But really impressed with, and obviously Sam Kane, he's just world class. But Luke Jacobson, I actually felt he had a good game, and he performed some real crucial turnovers as well too, AJ.
Yeah, no, I watch him, of course, being in the loose forwards. I think you're right with Sam Kane. He doesn't get the accolades. I mean, he just keeps his nose to the turf and away he goes. And, if you watch him closely, some good tackles, some good turnover. Kept his composure. And when you've got Luke there, I was a bit happier with his performance. Just the odd mistake here and there, the fumble. Yeah. He gets that out of his game, and I think we've got an all-round good number six there that's just champing at the bit. But, once they got their confidence up, they got their momentum. You could see that they scored first. I thought Brad Weber had another good game.
Yep.
Just before half-time, Piggy, if they'd scored that, I think, they would have been a lot more comfortable. They would have been disappointed he got held up. But they've got certainly the flair and attack if they put it together. And they've got some nice finishes there. And, a great win for them in context of 10 or 11 in a row with a loss, and now they've got the big W. Who knows? And let's see how the Chiefs go from here.
Yeah, well, let's see how they go, because they've got the Blues this week, and that should be a hell of a good game. I think, the Blues are coming back from a loss to the Crusaders, but whether this gives the Chiefs a bit of confidence against the Blues, well, I'd still back the Blues on paper, of course. Then we've got the Hurricanes and Highlanders. Well, the Hurricanes really need a win there, because that's really puts a lot of pressure on Jason Holland as well, too.
Yeah, well, but this is what it's all about. You're playing with the big boys. No quarters are given. But I think we can still agree the golf there with the Crusaders, definitely at the top there. The Blues, well, they could be there or thereabouts. But now it's going to be a scramble to see who's going to get to that final. And if we can have more games like we did on the weekend, well, we're in for another bumper season, aren't we?
We certainly are. And, of course, a bit of Six Nations over the weekend. Well, My tear in my glass eyes going out to English rugby supporters, because Ireland gave them an absolute spanking. But the biggest meltdown would have to be Wales.
You're looking at a Six Nations win there, the Grand Slam, and all of a sudden it just goes just like that. Yeah, maybe a couple of the odd decisions with refs, but hey, it is what it is. They thought they had it locked and loaded with about 15 to go, and but that's the French for you, Peggy. When you least expect it, because they come at you. And to win 32-30 would have broken a few of the Welsh league's hearts. But, hey, they've still got a chance to take it out. But, the French, they've got one match to go. And if they get it all together, Yeah, that trophy could be going across the ditch.
It certainly could, and I'll tell you what, that French show, they're real dangers for the 2023 World Cup. Even this far out, they look dangerous. Anyway, we'll be looking forward to our chat next week, and of course, in the next few weeks, Auckland Club Rugby starts. I'm looking forward to that. I think Eden earlier on have got Grammar Tech, so I may have to catch up with you to watch a bit of club rugby, Ojo.
Well, we do. Make sure you put you on your platform shoes, mate, because I won't be able to see you. But
thanks,
to sharing a bevy or two, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say, who's Grammar amalgamated with this week?
Oh, you're trying to be funny here. Now, that doesn't work with you, Piggy. I'm the comedian, all right?
I tell you what, you guys have taken over more clubs than Napoleon's taken over countries.
We like to add value wherever we go. So
spoken like a true grammar man. Good on you, AJ.
Okay, boy, you take it easy.
Hey, mate, and we'll catch up next week again.
Okay, cheers, boy. All right. Mate.
Okay, everyone, that was AJ Wetton. God, he's good, isn't he? He's just a fantastic analyst of the game. He's a great laugh, and he's just a good all-round guy. I'm going to play a bit of music. Next up, we'll have Rod Davis on, reviewing the America's Cup. Welcome everyone back to the Sports Review here on Planet FM. Sports Review proudly sponsored by Westprint. For all your printing needs, go to Westprint. Do it at westprint.co.nz. And I have to say, wow, what a week it was of America's Cup sailing. And when the America's Cup first came upon me when I first started the show, I was looking for an expert who I felt our listeners would relate to. And a man with good knowledge. I probably got the best person in New Zealand, best person in the world to speak about it. All round legend, fantastic bloke, Rod Davis. Good afternoon, Rod. How are you?
Yeah, good. Good afternoon to you.
Yeah, wow. It's when we were speaking off air, you said anything can happen in the America's Cup, And believe me, on that Monday, which was considered as moving day Monday, and you did get it right, we were going to finish on Wednesday. Race five, Team New Zealand finally got a pass, but passed Luna Rossa. But race six, I've never seen that in my life in any in America's Cup.
Yeah, no, I think the particularly the first half of the series was really a spectacular event. It, with Team New Zealand not racing for 3 months leading up to the actual first race of the America's Cup, they came in rusty, you know, they just were sixes and sevens, and Luna Rossa was razor sharp with their racing skills and their ability to sail the boat, and we saw the series go 3-3. And we saw, you know, in the next couple of races, although Team New Zealand won the last five on the trot, but the next three races after the 3-3 were darn good boat races, of the slower boat being ahead, trying to fend off the faster boat. And spectacular races, really.
Yeah, it was fantastic racing. And, of course, Team New Zealand probably had that edge of speed as well too, Rod, which probably gave him that advantage. And I have to say, in the end, it became dominant towards Team New Zealand. But I believe that Luna Rossa really gave Team New Zealand a good run for their money.
Yeah, Luna Rossa, I mean, they basically got 90 or 95% out of their boat, and Team New Zealand started the series only getting, we'll pick numbers, but something like 80% out of their boat.
Mm.
And by the end, Team New Zealand did a very good job of learning a lot of things. By the end, the boat speed, the raw boat speed of Team New Zealand came out, and they won. They won five races on the trot in the end to pick up the series. But full credit to the Luna Rossa boys. They really sailed better than Team New Zealand for the regatta.
Yeah, they actually did, Rod. Well, we move on to the future of the America's Cup. There is a lot of speculation of a one-off challenge next year. And
that's one thing we'll have no shortage of, is speculation and rumours over the next couple of months.
Oh, yeah. You know what it's like. You've been involved in America's Cup, so... But one of the things I'd like to see, if we do have it here in 2024, would be hopefully we get more challenges, and maybe we may get... there is rumours going and speculation that Lingi are looking to put their... looking to come back in. Is there a possibility of an Australian challenge, either led by Jimmy Spittle or Tom Sinsbury? You know, these are the things we have to look at. But, you know, and where will the New York Yacht Club be back? That's a big question.
Well, I think Alinghi was going to be the challenger of record if Luna Rossa had won the Cup. Okay?
Yes.
So that would have made Luna Rossa had won the Cup, then they'd be the defender, and Alinghi was going to be the challenger of record. That means Alinghi is very interested in getting involved in the next Cup. Now, we'll just have to wait and see how things play out between the new challenger and the defender. As far as Australia and the New York Yacht Club, the New York Yacht Club has made motions that they're interested, but it all come down to what the rules of the next cup are.
Yeah.
Australia, look, I'm sure Jimmy or Slingsby would love to do it, but it's millions and millions. It's $120 million to go challenge these things. And it's all about the money, not really about the sailors in the early stages of the event, or in the early stages of putting the teams together. So to try and raise that much money is, you need a billionaire behind you somewhere.
Yeah, well, that's the big thing. Well, Australia should have a few, but whether they're interested, because you have a look at Sir John Ratcliffe with NES Team UK, like the talk in the paper about $5 million funding from the government, their quote was, that's just a good night out for us. I was thinking, Team New Zealand really have done really well on the shoestring budget we've got, and of course the big thing is we've got to secure the guys like the Burleens, like the Tukes, like the Ashbys, the Josh Juniors, but really one of the key guys who probably need to secure would be Dan Benestoni. He has been so key to that Team New Zealand setup.
Yeah, so I mean that's what thought we'll be doing right now is trying to lock that down. There is a residency requirement now that's been put in place, which is agreed upon by Radcliffe and Dalton.
Yeah.
As far as the next cup goes, which is quite severe, basically. It means that either you have a passport of what you're representing, or you are already living in that country that you want to represent. And so that takes a lot of the movement out of the thing, i.e. Peter Berling can't go sail for any other country other than New Zealand, even if he got bought by Portuelli, like Cooch did in whenever you right after the 2000 Cup.
Yeah.
That can't happen this time because of the agreement between Redcliffe and Dalton.
Well, which is a good thing, because I believe in this challenge.
It's a good thing for New Zealand. I'm not sure it's a great thing for Pete Berling. No. As his bank statement, I'm not sure it's going to work for him.
But. Are you thinking of a comeback, Rod?
No.
Yeah, no. Who is it? But I think this challenge we had, I think it was a 60 or 70% residency. So if it is going to be that pure residency clause, whether Mr. Bertarelli will and his millions will be able to attract a Jimmy Spittle or a Tom Slingsby or another good sailor would be very, very interesting.
Yeah. No, look, I mean, the bottom line is over the next few months, we'll have to see how a lot of things get played out as far as what comes out in these agreements. I know that Dalton is required to deal in good faith with the New Zealand government over where the next cup is for the next few months.
Mm.
But just for the sake of argument, let's say the America's Cup is worth $100 million. To Dubai or whoever, then
yes.
In fact, you know, the New Zealand, be it the city or the government or a combination thereof, are going to have to stump up with at least a portion of that. And if they say, no, we're not going to pay for anything, then the America Cup will go offshore. It'll be that simple.
Yeah, and of course, when you're just speaking about some of Dubai and some of these, or Qatar, like if they said it was $100 million, of course, the first thing the emir or somebody would say, do you want cash or do you want a cheque? Because they've got so much money. And that's what New Zealand is really going against. I really hope that it does stay in New Zealand, because I believe that it could be a really good thing for the economy, great for the city of Auckland, but I think we've got to be realistic on the pressures that are against hosting it here. And as Sir Stephen Tindall said, sometimes it's easier not to get government funding just to be a franchise.
Well, that's right. And a lot of the hassles that the Defender and ACE, which is the America's Cup events things, went through with public money and the scrutiny thereof and la-da-da-da, they would like to get out from underneath. So, look, it's a complicated formula to try to put together in a good way, and I think that it's going to take time before we hear the facts of the case, but we will hear the rumors. We'll hear plenty of them, and they'll be. And the great thing about rumors is usually they're plausible, you know. So they have legs and they take off. So we'll just stick around, enjoy the show, because it's going to be a show for a while.
Yep, it's probably the big, it's drama on and off the water of the America's Cup. Well, Rod, I just want to thank you on the behalf of my show and on behalf of the station on the great work and the great contribution you have made to this show. I've really enjoyed our chats, and I know our listeners have, and I hope that we can talk in the future, whether it be America's Cup, whether it be Olympic sailing, whether it be the sailing GP, because I know that you've always gone out of your way to help me, and I really appreciate that, Rod.
Not a word. It's been a pleasure.
Mate, I've really enjoyed it, and I hope you have a good rest of the week, Rod.
Yep, have a good one.
Cheers. Thank you very much. Well, that was Rod Davis. Wow, he has been absolutely brilliant. He's really, and today's show just adds more to it. He's one of the real good blokes involved in America's Cup and in sailing in New Zealand. Okay, we're just going to play a bit of music, and then we get on to, then we'll have a quick chat to Blue McLennan about the NRL. Welcome everyone back to the Sports Review here on Planet FM, and this show is proudly sponsored by Westprint for all your printing needs. Email Westprint at westprint.co.nz, and of course, what a weekend it has been of sports, and of course the NRL. NRL is in full gear, round two. God, there were some really good games, but there seems to be a bit of an opening between the teams that look like they're going to be there and the teams that look like they're not going to be there, and we won't talk about bunkers reviews as well, too. Well, first of all, a very, very good afternoon to ex-Kiwis coach, ex-Leeds Rhinos, ex-New Zealand Warriors coach, Blue McLennan. How are you this afternoon, Bluey?
Yeah, doing really good, thanks, Piggy. How you doing?
Oh, mate, really good, good. We've just got a man with a camera here, so I had a feeling I needed to get a haircut over the weekend, so that was why. Hey, just before we get into to some of the games over the weekend, great stuff coming out of Mount Smart. The new signing, the Roger Tuivasa like-for-like swap, Reece Walsh. Apparently one of the real young stars in our games. What have you heard about this guy? I've seen a lot of videos of him on how good he is. Is this going to be probably the best young signing we've had? And I'm not talking young signing since probably PJ March in 2002.
I don't really know much about him, but, you know, when you've got Peter O'Sullivan and Nathan Brown, there's a lot of experience in the game. You just trust what they see, and obviously the young guy's got a lot of talent, a lot of athletic ability, and they believe he's got the character to make it as a first grader. They shows promise. I've seen some clips of him. He shows promise, but you know it's the character to be able to handle a week in, week out of NRL is where it's at, but. You know, you've got Peter and Brownie that are very experienced at seeing players. Like Brownie, when he's at Newcastle, got Quintipongia there, you know, fullback. So, Caelan Ponga. So, you know, he's got experience in getting a player that had limited experience into the NRL fold.
They certainly do, and I think Peter O'Sullivan's actually been a good addition to the Warriors. He's really scouting some really good young players. Well, we better get to it. The Knights 20, the Warriors 16. Bunker reviews, concerns around the halves. What were some of your thoughts from that game, Bluey?
Well, I think effectively Newcastle won the ruck area. Even though the Warriors had more ball, Newcastle had more control over that ruck area. So they were able to reset their defensive line. So now that made it difficult for the Warriors to get momentum going. And, you know, for the halves, they really need to play off some momentum, some quick plays and play at a jagged line, and it was hard. And I also felt that the referee let Newcastle jump a bit early at times. And that's really hard for an attacking side to get something together when they're up in your face. And there were times there that I've seen that Newcastle were leaving early. So I hope the referees do a better job of that.
I certainly do, and I must admit, I looked at that bunker review. I felt the Warriors were robbed a bit, but, you know, it's not going to get any easier for them next week. They've got the Raiders, so that's going to, and they've got a couple of tough ones before they get any respite. But there was also some fantastic games. The L16 over the Storm and Sivo, what fantastic tries! Two fantastic tries he scored.
You're right, and he's re-signed again, which is great for Parramatta and rugby league. And you know, the match-winning try was just outstanding. And he's a big man, and you know, once he jumps up in the air and he's competing for a catch, he's hard to beat. You know, and you know, we were blessed over the years to have Manu Vanavai doing that for us, the Warriors. When he gets up in the air, It's pretty much a no-cost contest because of the size of the man. And that was a really good game, Peggy. Just, you know, in conditions which was the most rain Sydney's had in 100-odd years. So, and they played right in the thick of it. And the quality of the game was just outstanding from both teams. And, you know, Parramatta fans must be feeling really, really good about that because it's so hard to beat the Storm.
It certainly is, and of course the Storm had Penrith on the Thursday game, and that's sort of like a replay of last year's grand final. Some of the other games, the Titans 28, the Broncos 16, the Panthers absolutely dominant over the Bulldogs 28-0, Jerome Luai and Nathan Cleary, that half combination's very good, but horrific tackle at the end on Nathan Cleary, and I think I think young Dallin might be having a few weeks off, and of course, but there's also been some, like the Rabbitohs look very good in their game against the Sea Eagles, and of course, the Roosters over the Tigers, 40 points to 6, that's just, you know, some of these results are actually, this shows that there could be already starting to be, even though we're in early stages, Bluey, a bit of a gap between the haves and have-nots.
That's right, Peggy, and I think it's no surprise that the Roosters jump out like they do, and it won't be long before Storm will be doing the same. You know, they're the two best coach sides in the competition, and it's no surprise, and the Rabbitohs, they'll get some momentum, but, the big game coming up this week is not only the Storm, the grand final.
Oh, yeah, I know which one we're talking about.
Playing the Roosters. And, you know, there's no bigger rivalry in our game. That's going to be a really interesting match too. But after two rounds, you look at the teams and you go, okay, I've got a fairly good idea who the top four will be and who's going to fight it out for the eight. And what's good for those Warrior fans is, you know, the Warriors are competing.
Yeah, they are.
They've got a massive challenge coming up, going to Canberra, their first away game this season. So, that's going to be really good to watch.
It certainly will. I think that could be a hell of a good game. Some of the other results, the Dragons got one over the Cowboys, 25-16. Raiders had a real close one against the Sharks, 12 points to 10. Chad Townsend really didn't have his kicking boots on. Did he? So, yeah, so that was a bit of disappointment for Sharks fans. And, of course, then we also come to next week. Now, we usually have our game of the week, and I'm picking our game of the week will be the Rabbitohs versus the Roosters.
Okay, so what are we doing there, Peggy? Do you want me to pick one?
Yep, you go first because I'm already ahead. I'm already ahead on the betting. And
you're turning up. Okay, well, I'll go the Roosters on that one, Peggy.
Mate, I am the first time ever I am happy to back the Rabbitohs, but I tell you what, that's going to be a hell of a game. I want to see you get one on the board so that way you can come up to a bit of an even Stevens come mid-season time. But just some of your thoughts on the NRL. There's been some really good games, but it's those Roosters, you're right, Brent Morris, the guy's just in brilliant form, but the guy that's really caught my eye has been Benji. The guy's just like the guy looks like he's reborn again.
Yeah, that's Benji. He's always been very competitive, and he's, he's always competed, and he's been with a coach that, he's very familiar with, that he enjoys playing for, and it's a real masterstroke for both of them, really. They've worked up good, they had an injury and they've got, they've got a ready made replacement, and the way he played in the middle zone last week was really good. Really well done to Benji. He's one of our legends, that's still playing for New Zealand. So really pleased to see Benji enjoying his footy.
Yeah, and of course, hopefully we get a Trans-Tasman bubble so we can get to watch the Warriors at Mount Smart, and hopefully we can get a bit of international rugby league before the Rugby League World Cup.
100%. And, it'll be nice, when everything can get back to some normality of travel and so forth. We've got, as Kiwis count our lucky stars that, we've been able to live the way we have lived. Sometimes
true.
It's easy to take things for granted. So, just count our lucky stars. We've been very blessed and very lucky.
Certainly, we certainly are. And hopefully the Warriors can get one over the Raiders, but I think my heart says the Warriors, but my head's going more towards the Raiders.
Yeah, if you're betting with your pocket, you go towards the Raiders. But having said that, the Warriors have, in the last couple of years, actually done okay going to the Raiders. It's always a hard trip. If you went from Auckland, it's a tough trip getting to the Raiders. You've got to go to Sydney and then you've got to reboard and go down to Canberra. So this is a good opportunity for the Warriors to go, go down to the, Canberra and try and do a number on them. They might be without Chanel Tabita Harris, perhaps they might bring in Paul Turner.
Possibly Sean O'Sullivan as well.
They can do a job, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that goes. Well, Bluey, as per usual, I have enjoyed our chats, and we'll be on a bit earlier next week because with the America's Cup over, we'll move you to an earlier slot so our listeners can have a decent listen to you, and we'll give you a bit more time next week. So we'll catch you next week, young Bluey.
Thank you very much, Peggy. Have a good day, mate.
Hey, same to you too, Bluey. Thank you very, very much. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we'll just play a bit of music. God, Bluey McLennan, we're very, very lucky to get a guy of that calibre on this show. One of the real good blokes of rugby league in this country, him and Frank Endicott. Well, I'm going to play a bit of music, and hopefully I don't leave my mic on. Well, hopefully I don't make the amateur mistake of leaving my mic on, because I've done that before. And then we'll get on to the panel, Mr. Mark Watson and Mr. Sean Summerfield. We'll just get the music playing.
No. stick, a stone. It's the end of the road. It's the rest of a stump. It's a little alone. It's a sliver of glass. It is life. It's the sun. It is night. It is death. It's a trap. It's a gun. The oak when it blooms. A fox in the brush. The knot in the wood. The song of a thrush. The wood of the wind. A cliff. A fall. A scratch, a lump, it is nothing at all. It's the wind blowing free, it's the end of the slope. It's a beam, it's a void, it's a hunch, it's a hope. And the riverbank talks of the waters of March. It's the end of the strain, it's the joy in your heart. The foot, the ground, the flesh and the bone. The beat of the road, a slingshot stone. A fish, a flash, a silvery glow. A fight, a bet, the range of a bow. The bed of the well, the end of the line. The dismay in the face, it's a loss, it's a find. A spear, a spike, a point, a nail. A drip, a drop, the end of the tale. A truckload of bricks in the soft morning light. The shot of a gun in the dead of the night. A mile, a must, a thrust, a bump. It's a girl, it's a rhyme, it's a cold, it's the mumps. The plan of the house, the body in bed. And the car that got stuck, it's the mud. A float, a drift, a flight, a wing, a hawk. A quail, the promise of spring, and the riverbank talk.
Welcome everyone back to the Sports Review here on Planet FM. And of course, we get to the fun part of the show, the sensible part of the show. Please welcome to the show the Silver Tongue, Silver Fox, Sean Summerfield. G'day, Sean. How are you today?
Yeah, good, mate. You?
Yeah, good. And of course, the man, the legend, and the hopeless romantic, Mark Watson. How are you, Mark?
Very well. Afternoon to you, Sean.
G'day, mate.
Yes. Well, great to have you both on air. I was just saying to Sean, we just had a camera in front of me from Seven Sharp. So, yeah, so there could be a rather big person on Seven Sharp, and it's not one of the hosts. It'll probably be me just with a camera in front of me because they're doing a bit of a story on the station here. So that's all good news. But
Mark, I was waiting for a bit of an expose, but, you know.
Well, you know, I've had a lot of expertise in my life, as you already know, Sean, so we won't go there. We definitely will not go there.
I'm ready to go.
Yeah, no. I value our friendship, Sean. Anyway, gentlemen, America's Cup. Team New Zealand has defended the America's Cup 7-3 over Luna Rossa. Now all the rumours begin. Will it stay here? Who's going? Will it be in Dubai? Will there be a challenge in Great Britain? Team New Zealand saying they want more money. Rod Davis just said they need $100 million at least. Well, I thought they were trotting out Gabe Newell as their new back billionaire, but who knows what's going to happen. Just some of your thoughts, gentlemen, and we'll start off with you, Mr. Watson.
Oh, look, I think this is a little bit of classic, sort of little bit what you see in boxing, or a little bit when a football player's contract comes up, you tend to sort of put a few threats out there, basically just to try and sort of increase your value in the eyes of others. Look, Team New Zealand, I think, would commit. I don't think New Zealanders would particularly forgiving, in fact, if they took the entire regatta away from New Zealand. I sort of can understand the idea of having a one-off challenge in the UK against Ineos sometime next year, where they pay an exorbitant amount of money. You hope you can win it, and therefore that puts some money in the coffers, and then you can sort of actually end up having your more traditional type format back here in 2024. Yeah, but it is an expensive game, isn't it? But it's also, there is a lot of pressure on government now, because it's saying, well, you know, look, we're in a COVID times. There's a lot of people are doing it tough out there. There's the hospitality industry. There's, particular regions and particular industries that are struggling, really. A whole lot of rich boys getting paid a whole lot of money by the government. But, look, I actually just think that what we have seen with the America's Cup, this is just a feel-good thing, isn't it? And sometimes governments It's about community. It's about a sense of nationalism. And, it's just trying to, just trying to justify it.
Sean?
Yeah, it's interesting. I heard someone say, the government wouldn't give anything if it goes away. And I'm thinking, look, but the government's already given a lot. Councils have already given a lot over the years. And this isn't just this America's Cup win. You know, this not just the parochial support of the people, but also the financial support of Kiwis for a generation. That's all part of this. This hasn't happened overnight. We actually saw some of the pieces they did, how sailors went into this because they watched Peter Blake's campaign win or earlier than that. And I just think, you know, the big part, you call yourself Team New Zealand, and a little we're in on this. I know years ago we had to stop calling the A1GP Team New Zealand because the yachting said they had the rights to call themselves Team New Zealand and no one else could. I thought, my goodness. So if being Team New Zealand means that much to you, then come on, guys. You should keep it here. It's great. Everything's there. The Italians say they want to do it here. COVID, I think, caused teams not to come. If they keep the same boats, then it should be cheaper or easier for other people to build them. That one-off race in the UK, Mark, so if they go there and they lose it, right?
Correct, they would lose it, absolutely. But I think
we're
going to comply with that.
Yeah, I think that's risky.
We're sort of talking about sometime late next year. Now, I still think that's a lot. I don't think that's a lot of time for Great Britain to sort of really close that gap on Team New Zealand. But it is a risk associated with it, isn't it? I mean, at the end of the day, they are going to need money. If government are not going to step up and, you know, let's say Emirates decides that enough's enough, we think we've got to put that money somewhere else and look, leverage Dubai and or Emirates in a different sport, then so be it. How long is that deal locked in? We're not really sure, are we? But I sort of look, but why would you want to give up your home advantage? I mean, arguably the key races in this regatta we won because of local knowledge at key times and critical moments. We've spent, since 2003 trying to win the damn thing back. We finally did win it. Why would you want to give up that home advantage simply to make yourself financially viable for what arguably could only be one campaign because you end up losing it?
Hey, the Bahamas was tropical, but it was a bit of a vacuum as far as, you know, the fans in that. San Francisco, there was people there who cared. It was their team, and that, I think, is a big, big part of it. You know, like I watched on Jimmy Spittle, and I'll say right now, I actually think Jimmy Spittle's all right.
Yep.
We'd love him if he was a Kiwi. But he's got the boxing kangaroo on his sleeve, you know? And that's back to Australia too. And, remember that boat, the Windkill that won it with Bondi and that? I just think, you know, that whole having in front of your home crowd is really important. And, look, for anyone that watched that overseas, and let's be honest, there's bugger all decent international sport going on, that, and they saw Auckland looking like it did, that's got to be good for our country. Because I looked at those pictures and thought, geez, I'd like to live there.
Nowhere else in the world is going to deliver to the America's Cup what we deliver. Look, it is world famous here. We do take it to another level. It is very much a part of our sporting psyche, more so than any other country. I mean, I did look for results and stuff. I had to really, really search the BBC to find it. I looked at other things around the world. And, I think that having it here in New Zealand certainly does enhance that event more so than, you know, with a lot of intangibles, more so than what any other country in the world could do. I mean, I think if Britain ended up winning it, things might change over there, but they haven't done that yet.
And hey, we've seen other sporting events taken away and played at sort of these, not neutral stadiums, but stadiums where they've been paid to take it. And there's a huge part of sport, and it's about passion and love and that emotional connection. And you take that away, and sport actually hasn't got a lot of tangible sort of benefits aside from that as a spectator. And they destroy what it stood for.
State of origin is case in point. I never like to see it go outside of Queensland or New South Wales. to me, that's what Origin is. They start to taking it to Melbourne. There's talk of taking it to Perth. There's talk of taking it across here to New Zealand. Yes, and while the stadiums might fill up with people, they're more there because of the novelty, where I think when you keep it in New South Wales, you keep it in Queensland, the fans are there because it's just a genuine deep-down passion, probably the closest thing we see in this part of the world than what we see with English Premier League football and arguably Australian rules as well.
Eamon, you went to the All Blacks against Ireland in Chicago, right?
Yep, I certainly did. And I tell you what, this is the amazing trip I actually had. I arrived there, the Cubs win the World Series for the first time in well over 100 years. Then on the Saturday, I go and watch Ireland versus the All Blacks. Well, I was supporting the All Blacks that day. I tell you something, the Irish were, you know, the fans, it was just an atmosphere you'll never forget, and it's something that will remain part of my life for a very long time with, a bit of a smile on my face.
Okay, Eamon, but just that you just take a step back, though. Compare that win in Ireland to what it would have meant to Irish fans when they won at Lansdowne Road. Birdie's Bowl.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say to you, the biggest thing about it is that victory being the first one was great for Irish rugby. That second one would mean a lot to the people on Ireland because it's the first time at Lansdowne Road or Bertie's Bowl or whatever you want to call it. And it also meant to them that it means a lot to the people, especially when it's in your own country. And that's the sort of passion we feel when we have the America's Cup here or when we have a big event like the Rugby World Cup.
Because once you sell out, it's hard to buy it back, isn't it, guys?
It certainly is. And if you go for the money, that's what happens. Talking about people who don't go for the money, but who is on the money at the moment, Sean, the Giz.
Look, what can you say? The guy is, and it's... I mean, I chatted about this to you guys before. I remember the first time I saw him on a wet day in a Formula 4 drifting around the outside of Turn 1 at Pukekohe to pass someone, and I thought, what have I just seen here? And when it's wet, that's when you find out who's got the absolute ability and the way they can make that car dance when there's just no grip and, you know, just nothing short of remarkable. The result on Saturday from 14th to win, just phenomenal. And there is an innate driving ability. I think there's a huge amount of genetics. I have a story from his dad that when he got his first wee go-kart, the first thing he did was tried to go a wee pedal car down a hill to try and make it drift in the gravel. His father, very handy peddler, good rally driver. And I think, so he grew up in that. This you could say it was destiny, but he's got a next-level ability in the car. There's people have said over the years almost too much natural ability, but he's now crafted and he's, you know, expanded that with his sort of knowledge and understanding of how everything works in the car. And to criticise what we saw on the weekend, the fact that he's notched up those five wins and he hasn't been beaten since Bathurst, just amazing.
Yep. What were some of your thoughts on that, Mark?
I think Sean summed it up nicely, didn't it?
Yeah,
I mean, you sort of get rid of McLaughlin and everybody thinks that somehow we're going to have another competitive season, that it's going to be, you know, four or five drivers sort of heading towards Newcastle later in the year and Bathurst, and that's where the championship's going to be won. But, you know, like McLaughlin, it could be over sort of halfway through the season. But again, it's just testament to what New Zealand's doing with their academy system and the drivers that are coming out of this country. And, you know, and as long as you've got Scott Dixons and the All Bambas and these different drivers all around the world doing great things, you're always going to have young kids and wanting to come through into motorsport, and that helps with your succession plan. And so, look, I just love seeing Kiwis shove it up the Aussies in a sport that they love. And they love their supercars.
Yeah.
Hey, to go on that too, so 2 weeks ago he broke his collarbone. His left arm's still not right. That's the arm doing all the work on the gear shift and the roll bar changes and brake bias and everything during the race. When he got out, they wear a thing, if you see on their collar, it looks like a yoke almost, and that's called a Hans device, and it basically clips onto the helmet. and it stops their head moving forward in a crash. And he actually couldn't undo the left-hand release, which is you got to push it in and slide it. He couldn't do that. Garth Tander, who was on interviewing duty, to do it for him, so he couldn't actually lift up his left arm. And he's a fit, strong guy, but he didn't have anything on his shoulder with his arm up to actually release that. So that's actually show, you know, that the limited strength he's got when his arm's at that extension. So for him to race like he did with that injury as well, and as Kosecki finished second, said, they said, oh, great result. He said, yeah, but Shane still beat me with one arm. Just brilliant.
Yep, it certainly was. Well, I have to say, just over the weekend, did any of us get a chance to look at some of the Super Rugby over the weekend?
Oh, I've got to say,
Sorry, I was just going to say, were they still social distancing in Wellington? Because it looked like in the stadium they were spread out, or is that just the crowds that they're still getting down there?
I thought McNeish was there.
Yeah, you know, but look, that's the crowds they're getting there. And look, even Eden Park wasn't even full. I mean, you know, this is the Crusaders, this is the Blues team that have come off a couple of wins, and this is their year, and there was plenty of excitement and hype, and we're still sort of locked in our own country, and you thought, well, you know, there's not a lot of sport on, we'll get along, we'll watch this. And I just sit there and go, man, rugby is in trouble. It is in real trouble at the moment. There doesn't appear to be that engagement. And then you look at the quality of the teams. You've got the Crusaders, who appear to be better than everybody else. And then you go, so New Zealand rugby has been reduced to sort of five Super Rugby sides, and there are two sides that are okay. There are three are crap. I mean, where is the talent in this country? Where are our rugby players going? Are we here in New Zealand on the cusp of becoming sort of what the Welsh were, you know, after sort of 1981, 82? It's a little bit frightening.
I tell you what, there was a couple of bits I saw in yesterday's game. A couple of bits of play from sort of third and fourth phase of some ball skills. I watched the way Whitelock played. I watched the way Moanga played and kicked. I think those two sides yesterday would be a match for all but a couple or three of international sides. I swear to God, they are cancelling each other out. And I think the standard of rugby is actually damn awesome. We're not pre-season. They were operating at an amazing level. And I'm the last person to run and defend rugby just because it's our game. But I genuinely think the standard of play and some of the stuff we're seeing is awesome, because the Blues weren't bad, Mark. They got beaten.
Sean, you've only got to go back to last year. We lost to bloody Argentina for the first time. We lost to a woeful Australian team. You know, I don't think we've had a group of talent come through. You mentioned some marquee players out of the Crusaders primarily. I agree with you. A couple of those decide to get up and go overseas. A couple more injuries. And I'm just not convinced. I think we're playing well at this level, but I think it is another step up. We saw England, World Cup semi-final.
Now you've just gone and used facts and common sense and statistics to prove me wrong. Damn.
I have to say, that is the Mark Watson we all love.
I can't argue. I'm being a bit passionate, but I actually enjoyed that game yesterday. I tell you what I was gutted about. I thought I'd go along, almost convinced my daughters to come to the game, but all the half-decent seats were gone. But then I looked at the game, and they weren't. So sort out your ticketing system, Eden Park, because
seats are free and available. You should be able to take them, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Well, guys, and I apologise, and I wish we had an extra half hour, because I think we could go on for an extra half hour.
Don't need to talk about the Warriors, you're right.
Yeah, okay. On that, I have to say once again, gentlemen, you two are the class act of our radio across New Zealand, and I would like to thank you for your contribution today, gentlemen.
You're a very, very intelligent man, Amy.
Yes.